day.
I love my kid.
She loves her kid.
I can't.
She does.
That was fun. Well, morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. This is actually the first Mother's Day for me that I haven't been at home with my mum in the morning, which has been a little bit sad. I think that she was probably a little bit sad this morning, but that's okay. I'm here now. And I've noticed that since being married and not living at home, the majority of my phone calls have been to my mother. And I've asked her how she's going and does she miss me and what's it like living without me and does my room still linger with the scent of me and all these things. And then I ask her the stuff that lots of daughters probably ask their mothers, and they're things like, is Moroccan seasoning a substitute for curry powder? Which bit does a fabric softener go in the washing machine? How much should I be paying these days for a can of diced tomatoes, really? How do you separate frozen chicken breasts when you only have an hour to defrost them? And I've shrunk something in the wash. Can I stretch it back out? So you don't realise how much your mum does for you until she stops doing it. And I miss many things about not living at home, but one of them is that I miss my mum not being there all the time. And I mean, she is in Ringwood all of the time, and these days I'm in Lilydale all of the time. And so she's there, but she's not in the next room anymore. And so I miss her inspiring presence, because mothers are inspiring people, aren't they? Yes, their job description is inspiring, their multitasking is inspiring, their patience is inspiring, and their giving is inspiring. But this Mother's Day, I don't want to specifically just talk about mums, because as with every year, we want to honour all women, whether they're young or old, mums or not. And so this year, we particularly felt to share how inspiring us women are. And if I was to think of women, no, I wasn't talking about me, if I was to think about women throughout the ages that have been inspiring to the world and to the masses, I'd think of people like Florence Nightingale, Joan of Arc, Princess Diana, Queen Elizabeth I, Joyce Meyer, Marie Curie. She was the first person to have ever received 2 Nobel Peace Prizes. Oprah, maybe, maybe not. Rosa Parks, she was the woman who refused to give up her seat on a bus for a white man and whose actions that day inspired Martin Luther King Jr. And I could go on and on, because there have been many amazing women throughout the years. But for the sake of getting to lunch on time today, which is a high priority, I've narrowed it down to just 3 inspiring women. The first one is Mother Teresa. That tiny, wonderful nun who for over 45 years ministered to the sick, poor, dying and orphaned. Originally, she was a teacher in her convent for 20 years before she felt called to and decided to leave and help the poor by living among them. When she started the Missionaries of Charity, it began as a small order with just 13 members in Calcutta, but today it has inspired more than 4,000 nuns to join the running of orphanages. Sorry, it's to join the running of 610 missions, including orphanages, AIDS hospices, and charity centres in 123 countries. Second woman, Mary, Mother of Jesus, the mother of all mothers, some would say. The woman or the girl at the time who gave birth to the Son of God. She was an ordinary Jewish girl engaged to be married and looking forward to life with her husband when she was visited by an angel who told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and make her pregnant, and she would go on to give birth to Jesus. And her obedience and trust in God has inspired Christians for over 2,000 years. And the third person I want to talk about this morning is Marita Simpson, an LMC household name. This woman has been a missionary for over 10 years, living her life in Uganda, where she is currently educating and supporting orphaned and vulnerable children. Marita has inspired mission trips to Uganda. She has inspired people to shave their heads for her projects, namely Moses. She's inspired people to sponsor the children that she's working with. And she's also inspired a group of ladies to cook, bake and cater as a way of raising money for her cause. They are some amazing, inspirational women. And if I was to think of how do we live a life that inspires others, I think, well, how do we do that without having to move to Africa or becoming a nun or having to experience the Immaculate Conception? Because that doesn't happen every day. But I thought about these women and the lives that they've lived and do live now, and I think there are a couple of common threads that we can all learn from. And the first one is confidence in their calling. These women had, and Marita still does, such a firm confidence in the call that they felt from God. They weren't semi-sure, oh, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. They had a rock-solid confidence and assurance in the cause that God had given them, that this is what they were supposed to do. This was their calling, the purpose, and the reason for their lives. For Mother Teresa, it was in September 1946, on a train, that she experienced what she would call the call within the call. And these are her words for what she felt God say to her. I was to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. It was an order. Listen to this. To fail would have been to break the faith. Such strong words. And you get the sense that this woman really feared God, and that if she didn't do what God was calling her to do, well, what would be the point of her faith? And what confidence she must have had to leave the comforts and the securities and the familiarity of the convent that she'd been in for 20 years, and not just minister to the poor and then go home to another place elsewhere, but to live among them. And that's quite amazing. But there was no wavering. There was no second-guessing herself. And her confidence obviously didn't waver and didn't diminish in the years, because she continued to do it for 45. For Mary, her first response to the angel when he told her that she would give birth to God's son was, well, how, since I'm a virgin and all? And I thought about this, and it wasn't a question of doubt or disbelief that she had, but it was more about the logistics of how exactly this was going to happen. Would it be with my husband when I'm married later on, or is it going to be now, as I'm a virgin? And when you think about it, that's a very classic womanly kind of question to ask, because we like details. We like to know how things happen. We like to know how everything works. That's just a very woman characteristic. And so I can understand how Mary is like, all right, well, how is this going to happen? And so the angel goes on to explain that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, which is a little bit vague for me, but for her it was okay. And then after that, her next response isn't, well, are you crazy? Are you insane? Do you know how people would think about me? It's not, am I crazy? You know, am I seeing things? But her response is one of complete and utter faith and trust. She says, and these are her words, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Think about it for a minute. It would have seemed unimaginable for a girl, and she was a girl at the time, she wasn't even a woman, for her as a virgin to give birth, but not just to any baby, but to the Messiah, the one that was going to save the world, the one that had been prophesied and talked about for years. And here is just an everyday girl, engaged to be married, and out of nowhere, this angel tells her, you're going to give birth to God's son. And her reaction and response wasn't to run for the hills or to laugh in the angel's face or to pull her hair out, but was, you know what? If that's what you say, God, then I'll go and I'll do it and have your way, and I'm your servant. And for Marita, who I emailed with some questions for this morning, she said this, do I feel called? Yes. I always knew that when I was up in Belicia the first time teaching missionary kids, I'd be back one day teaching nationals. Or maybe it's also knowing I'm equipped and there is a need and God expects me to help fill it. I'm confident that if I'm doing what is right morally and ethically and in accordance to what I think God wants, then God will work with us and through us regardless of our own inadequacies and shortcomings. I know that I'm meant to be here doing this, and I know it's what God wants me to do, and there is nothing that anyone can do if God doesn't want this stopped. Confidence is full trust, belief in the powers, trustworthiness, or reliability of someone. And with all three of these women, not only did they have that kind of confidence in their God, because that's in whose power they trusted, but with that firm belief followed obedience. Because it is one thing to hear something from God, like, you're going to live among the poor, or I want you to give birth to God's son, or I want you to go and live as a missionary over in Africa. It's one thing to hear those things, but it's another thing to do them. And they all obeyed the call of God on their lives because they trusted in him. And in the words of Marita, she said throughout her email that she sent me, I know God is in control. The second thread that these three ladies have in common is courage. Courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, and pain without fear, but with bravery. Women are courageous people. Our mothers are courageous people. To give birth, to give up their bodies, to give up their lives, their jobs, their desires, is a courageous thing. And daily courage is knowing that despite difficulty or pain or suffering, that we don't have to fear, we don't need to fear. It takes courage to move to a third world country and live alone as a missionary. It takes courage to go against tradition, as Mother Teresa did when she left the convent, or to withstand gossip and shame, as what Mary had to. And we look at Mary and the miracle that was her giving birth to Jesus, and we sometimes don't remember the pain and suffering that she went through beforehand. She knew disgrace as an unwed mother. She faced the possibility of being stoned. She nearly lost her fiancé, Joseph. Mary was pregnant and not married, and that made her a joke in her town. And then years later, imagine the pain of her having to watch her adult son carry the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, to be rejected and ridiculed and then cruelly murdered. But she faced it, and she faced it with bravery. And though Marita wouldn't say she's courageous, I'm sure all of her family and friends and supporters admire her spirit to face and deal with the challenges that being a missionary brings. I think it's extremely courageous for anyone to leave their life, leave their jobs and career, and leave the luxuries and comforts and securities that she could have had here and go over and be obedient to God. There have been times when she's faced danger in some of the villages that she's stayed at. There have been difficulties with her health and malaria in the past. There's been times of loneliness where she's missed family and friends and just being away from civilization. And little things like driving 7 hours to get to the next town in a car that often breaks down and that you can't just pull into the nearest BP servo to get fixed. And Marita said that when it gets difficult, you just keep plodding along. And that is the spirit of someone with courage. And each of these women had difficulties, danger, and pain, but instead of running from it, they faced it with bravery and perseverance. I love how Mother Teresa explained it. She said that, I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, then there is no hurt but only more love. And the third thing that these women have in common is that they are Christ-inspired. How did they get the quality of mind to be courageous? How did they keep confident? And how did they obey God? Because God was their inspiration. Christ was the foundation on which their lives were lived. Mother Teresa said, Many people mistake our work for our vocation, but our vocation is the love of Jesus. It was her love of Christ that inspired and enabled her to live with and care for and nurture the unlovable and the poorest of poor, the outcasts and the most rejected of society. And Mother Teresa would have been the first to say and to acknowledge that her source of strength for 45 years doing what God called her to do was Christ. I've just got a couple of things that she said. I follow Christ. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my spouse. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my only love. Jesus is my all in all. Jesus is my everything. I see God in every human being. When I wash the leper's wounds, I feel I am nursing the Lord himself. Is it not a beautiful experience? Mary, after finding out she's pregnant, doesn't cry, but she sings a song that rejoices in her God. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And Marita said this, you have to keep in mind that you are here for just a blip. And eternity and investments in eternity is really where it's at. I have no trouble at all understanding God the Father, God the Supplier, and God who loves us. I know God is in control. And I just think that is such a kingdom-minded perspective that she has. The reason that these women are and still are an inspiration to so many is because their inspiration comes from God. Their courage, their confidence, and their obedience is inspired in Christ, by Christ alone. And the thing is, when we hear about these women's lives, and you hear just a tiny snippet this morning, it's just really small, and we feel inspired when we hear about the things they've done and the characteristics that they have, but we can also feel a little average, a little selfish, a little small perhaps. Who am I? What is my life? Who do I inspire? But when Mother Teresa won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979, she was asked, what can we do to promote world peace? And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, how can I change the world? How can I even just change it a little bit? I'm no missionary. I'm no nun. I'm certainly no Virgin Mary. I'm no Oprah or Joyce Meyer. I'm not going to win a Nobel Peace Prize. But I love her response to that question, because it wasn't to go out and do great big things and to get the world's attention. She said this. She said, go home and love your family. Not be the first person to invent a cure for cancer or have your own TV show or become the first prime minister, but if you want world peace, go home and love your family. And that can be a small thing in our mind, and it's not really a small thing, but we think these things are small, but often they're the ones that count the most. She also said, we cannot all do great things, but we can do small things with great love. If you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. You see, we think we have to do these big, crazy things to be an inspiration, but it's the small things that really inspire, like loving your neighbour or loving your husband or your wife, giving encouragement, being that good example, compassion, mercy, kindness, gentleness, patience, pursuing justice, integrity. And they are things that that really inspire, and they're things that everyone can do. Mother Teresa also said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. And if you think about a kind word that's been spoken in your life, it can make such a huge impact. It's so small, but those are the things that really inspire. And one of the things that I found most amazing about Marita when she emailed me back with her responses to my questions were the people that inspired her. And she said this, my parents for releasing me to come here and to come with their blessing, who have given me every possible start in life. Teachers and leaders at Oxley and LMC who plug away at their jobs and classes and who are making enormous and eternal investments in the lives of hundreds of children. People who quietly sow into the lives of others in practical ways. People who see the positives in things. People who would have liked to go on the mission field but have sacrificed their own time and dreams to care for relatives or others. Or those who raise a family and who do it without complaining. I love that someone as amazing and as inspiring as Marita, the people that inspire her are not, they're not Florence Nightingale and they're not Joyce Meyer and they're not huge big things. They're everyday, ordinary human beings, people doing their jobs well, people who are passionate about their classes if they're a teacher, people who quietly sow into the life of another. They don't have to make a big deal out of it. They just quietly do something. People who help in a practical way, like bake a meal for someone or mow the grass of their neighbour. People who care for others and who love their families without complaining. These are the people that inspire Marita. And when you think about that, they're things that so many of us are already doing, we just don't realise that there can be an inspiration behind that. And it really is the small things that matter. So this Mother's Day, think about Marita and think about Mother Teresa and Mary, three incredible women, and remember their confidence, their courage and their Christ-centeredness enabled them to be able to be such an inspiration. And remember your mothers, think of their courage, of their sacrifice, of their love, and then remember that whoever you are, whether you're a student or a parent or a grandma or a checkout chick or a wife or a leader, that it is the small things that really inspire. And I'll finish off with one more quote from Mother Teresa, and it's something that I think does encompass Marita and Mother Teresa, and it also encompasses women, I mean mothers, and that is this: unless a life is lived for others, it is not worthwhile.
Well, it's that time again, the time that we celebrate all the wonderful women that helped us be all we can be. I'm talking about moms. So moms.
M is for the many things she gave me.
Hey. Hello. What you doing?
I just thought we might do a song for the moms for Mother's Day. Hi, moms. Hi. Hi, mommy. This is for you, mommy. M is for the many things she gave.
We get it. M is for the many things she gave us. We get it. That's very cute.
Oh, you're pretty quick for a bald guy. Everyone join in. Oh, means
that. I just thought that we'd do a heartwarming message for all the moms out there instead of a campy little song.
Oh, means that I owe her all I owe.
Okay. You do it your way. I will do it my way. Moms, we owe you so much. Thank you for being there.
T is for tender, sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made a home. You've made a home on the range.
Okay, stop it.
She did make a home on the range. You probably called it like a stove, but we had a range at my house. She made
that word home, oh, that means so much. We still long to be in your presence. We still long for you to be proud of us. And yes, we still long to come home.
Okay, this isn't working.
What?
No. You're faking it.
I am not.
You're forcing the
tears. No, it's real.
No. This does not work in any way. This works. The song works. This does not work.
I just thought we'd speak from the heart. That's what moms want.
You know what? Mom always liked you best anyway.
We don't even have the same mom.
It's everything you've done to help me. Like that time you helped me find my shoes in first grade and in college. And there was that time also that Tammy Cornball broke up with me. Crazy last name, right? But she was really a sweet girl until she broke up with me. And I was sad, but you made me feel better. You brought in some chocolate chip cookies and some milk. And you made, you know what? What can make me feel this way, mother? Talking about my mom, mommy.
And R stands for right. And right you always shall be, right in our eyes, right with the values that you instilled in us so sacrificially, and right in how you taught us to love God and love others. And so, mothers, today we say to you...
Them all together, they spell mother, the word that means the world to me, the word that means the world to mama. Cry when I said I didn't like your meatloaf when I was five. It's not my fault, it needed salt, but that doesn't really matter. Happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day,
happy Mother's Day.
Thanks, Nick, for what you said. That was just brilliant. Call, courage, and Christ-like. You know, Mother's Day sometimes is a tough day. Tough day because there's some who are here who want to be mums and aren't. It could be a tough day because mum might have passed away in the last year and you're missing mum. It could be tough because you aren't married yet and you want to be. Trouble is that we could become so sympathetic and thoughtful that we don't honour those that we want to honour. And we want to honour mums today. You know, when I think of mums, I think of the three mums, the three examples in my life. My mum, whom I didn't appreciate as much as I should have. Chris's mum, and of course Chris as a mum. Yet I observe and I watch lots of other mums. And my mum and Chris's mum and Chris herself typify, I think, all mums. They're incredible. You notice that the chicks are this year going through a whole work of building lives to inspire. And they're talking about the building blocks of life. Nick has talked about inspirational women. She's talked about those that have impacted the world and are impacting the world. But without mums, we wouldn't have what we have. And you know, we can always be better, but mums are incredible people. So the M, well, I'm not going to sing a song, thank goodness. But the M stands for miracle workers, because that's what they are. You know, the miracle of making the meals like they do every day without hesitation. You know, you look at what Matt prepared for Narelle today, and thank goodness Narelle makes the meals. That's all I can say. You think of the meals that we get. You think of the money that we don't have sometimes to produce those meals. When I was growing up, we knew that come Friday it would be tripe. And people don't like tripe now, but I love tripe. But that was all my mum could afford. And on a Friday, she would make tripe, and it would be beautiful, and it would be healthy, and it would be nutritious, and it would fill us in our tummies. So mums are miracle workers in regard to what they do with their meals. They're miracle workers in regard to mediation. I think of all the fights that I have observed as a boy growing up, as a dad watching what happens in our household, and I think my dad had it right. Bang our heads against the wall. That fixed it. But my mum never did that. And I might have wanted to, but I wasn't allowed. But Chris certainly showed incredible mediation. And then the M stands for money. I came home once to our house and found Chris crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she says, "I feel it's my fault that we're so poor." Now, I could have told her it was. But the truth was, it wasn't. And I said, "Why do you feel that way?" Because she says, "When I go shopping for the food, I realize that I'm spending all the money, and that's why we haven't got any money." You know, I know that being a mum is tough, and being a money manager is tough, and doing what they do in regard to money is purely a miracle. And then the other M word is men. I don't know why that got in there, but I just thought it sounded good. They're miracle workers with us men, aren't they? Just look how tired I am today. Graham, you can wear that. Graham, you can't wear that. Graham, you can do this. Graham, you can't do that. In fact, Pastor Oxley says often, if a man says he's the head of his home, he'll lie about other things. I don't know why you're laughing. I've heard that so many times now, it's not even funny, but it is the truth, and our mums are miracle workers with their men. The O, well, that stands for once a mother, always a mother. I don't know about you, but I don't think the umbilical cord has ever been cut, really. You know, I watched my mum as we got older as boys, and she said it was harder for her when we were older and when we'd left home than what it was when we were kids, because she didn't know what we were doing. She was always worried about what we were doing and where we would be, and yet she couldn't do anything about it. I realise that the umbilical cord is never cut. And that's the same with most mums, if not all mums. The other part of O is that mums always put others first. No matter what it is, others always come first. Their meals are eaten last. They do everything for themselves last. They are late sometimes getting somewhere because they've dressed everybody else first and they haven't got time to dress themselves as they'd like. They always put others first. The T, well, that stands for time. Time to listen, time for the homework, time for prayers at night, time for everybody else but themselves. Again, mums, we appreciate you. We honour you. We recognise how much you do. And today, we're not being flippant. We're not throwing in some lines to make it look good. We're saying what we say because you do represent everything that Christ represents to us. As Nick has already said, the H, well, that stands for the heart that you have. The heart that you have towards your children, the heart that you have towards your husbands, the heart that you have towards others, the heart that you have to do the things that you do. E, well, that stands for emotions. You all have them, Don't ask me to try and understand or explain them. However, we wouldn't want them to change. Okay, I'll be honest. Maybe just a little. But you do have emotions, and that's what makes you who you are. Just wish we could understand them a little bit. The R, well, that stands for robust. And before you think I'm being rude, robust in the Theosaurus means strong and tough. The mums that I have watched are strong in their sense of right and wrong, in their sense of wanting to raise their children, to have a home that represents who they are. The R also stands for mums being the rock. You know, we talk about Christ being the rock that we stand on. Nick got up and talked about what it was like to move out of home and be away from mum. You know, I don't know how many times I rang my mum. I don't know how many times the girls have rung Chris to find out how to do this and how to do that. Our mums are a rock. They're solid, they're stable, and they're someone that we can lean on and do lean on and always lean on. And the S, well, that stands for servant. I just want to spend a little bit more time on the S, on the servant aspect, because being a servant, I think, is the greatest attribute that anybody could ever have. In fact, I know it is, because Jesus says it is. And so, mums are servants. The other aspect of S is sensational. Now, listen to what the words come out of the dictionary on sensational. Amazing, astounding, marvelous, exciting, thrilling, breathtaking, out of this world, magnificent. So mums are sensational. Mums are soft. Now, again, Theosaurus is to blame for this. They're yielding. They're squashy. They're spongy. They're subtle. They're pliable. They're flexible. They're malleable. I used to always think that I could twist my mum. Yet when I look back, I realize I wasn't twisting her. I wasn't sucking her into some emotional ploy, that she was just being flexible and malleable. Yet deep down, she was praying hard. And deep down, she was still being a rock. We knew that what was right was wrong came from her. Mums are snuggly. They're nice to cuddle up to. Nice to sit with and just get that cuddle when things are sad. Of course, as boys, we push mums away when we don't want the cuddles. But when we're sore or hurting or need someone to talk to, someone to listen, we can cuddle up to our mums. Mums are special. They're extraordinary. They're unique. They're exceptional. Mums are sensitive. They are aware. They've got perception that men don't have. They're insightful into things that are incredible. But let's come back to the S for servant again. A servant is somebody who serves another. Somebody who is faithful in every area. Somebody who has a desire to please. Someone who is patient in the hard places. Someone who is prepared to lay down one's life for another. Matthew 23 says, the greatest among you will be your servant. In Philippians 2:7, it says of Jesus that he made himself nothing, but he took upon the very nature of a servant. Mums, today I want you to think of yourselves in the way that Christ thought of himself. Even though he had equal status with God, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. He took on the status of a servant. And I watch many, many mums set aside their own lives, set aside their own desires, their own careers, their own thought patterns in the sense of what they would want, that they might serve their families. Jesus, having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process, and I see being a mum as a very humbling thing in so many ways. Yet, with an incredible rich reward like our Savior had when he went back to the right hand of the Father. Jesus didn't live or claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. You know, you think of the people that Nick talked about. We think of Mother Teresa. She didn't claim special privileges. She could have. Instead, she lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. Yet her memory goes on. My mum passed away a year and a bit ago, yet her memory goes on. In fact, believe it or not, I think her memory goes on more in my mind now than what it did when she was alive, because I remember what she did and how she laid down her life, not just for me, but for my brothers. Our mums, and we all have them because we're all here, believe it or not, set themselves aside to become our servants. They lived and live a selfless life, laying down their rights for the sake of their families. And from my experience and from what I've watched, this doesn't stop until they die. So mums, you are miracle workers. We know that once you're a mother, always a mother. And the last thing that I'd like to do is to stop Chris from being a mum, or to stop her mum from being a mum, because they can't. We thank you for the time you give. We thank you for your incredible heart for others. We thank you for the emotions that you have, even though sometimes we don't understand them. We thank you that you are robust and strong and steadfast. And we thank you that you are a servant and you demonstrate Christ-likeness in so much way. I'd like us to pray right now for our mums. I'd like to pray for all the women folk in our church. And in a minute we're going to give each of our women folk a gift. From year 7 up, we're going to give each of our women folk a gift. For I want the women of this church to know that we honour them, we love them, and we recognise as men our responsibility in this rite. So let's pray together. Father, this morning we want to thank you for mums. We want to thank you for womanhood. We want to thank you for the richness of that. And Lord, as I just think of right now in my mind's eye that picture of the nativity and just how Jesus reacted and played with his mum, how his mum reacted and played with him. When I think of what Nick spoke about with Jesus' mum, we have an incredible example. In fact, so much so that your word says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Lord, I don't think that just applies to those who are married. I think that that would apply to all men in regard to the honouring of women. And so, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. In fact, I repent on behalf of men if we have not honoured and respected women in a Christ-like way, that we have hurt them or robbed them from achieving their full destiny because of the pain we have caused. I pray that you would let your healing power flood upon our women folk right now, from the youngest to the oldest, that there would be that sense of treasure, that sense of respect, that sense of assurance and confidence in who they are and the call that they have as being women. Lord, I thank you for the mums that have influenced me. I thank you for the mums that are in this church. And Lord, I pray right now that you would overshadow them, and that as Chris and her team continue to teach the women of this church how to inspire and the building blocks of life, that Lord God, we as men would recognize that our ladies are inspirational, and that they build our families, and that they create the havens that we enjoy and that we live in, and that they are the instruments that raise our children, that create within our children incredible gifts and talents. So Lord, we just thank you for our ladies, and we pray that you would overshadow them, that you would bless them even now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give the ladies a gift. Nick, if you could start doing that straight away. We got an item, I know, but if you'd start doing it. So every lady in the church, year 7 and above, we'd love to give you a gift. And please, I know that many would like to say, look, so-and-so is not here. Could I take one for them? And no, I'm sorry, you can't. We also have three gifts, and it's quite a strange thing to do today because the three people that I have these gifts for aren't here. We have the two oldest mums in our church, both within a week of age, and we don't distinguish them when they get to about 87, so that's for Joy Holmes and for Betty Brasington, and I'll make certain that they get them. And we did have, Rhonda, I noticed that you walked into the church, you were the youngest mum, or the newest mum, until 2:58 this morning. So now your gift, Rhonda, goes to Rachel Carlson, who had baby Joel Williamson Carlson at 2:58 this morning. And Joel was 8 pounds 9 ounces, so we will give that to Rachel. Rel, could I give that to you? And could you give that to Rachel for us? That's great. Thank you very much. So we're going to now enjoy an item whilst the gifts are being given out. And I'm wondering if Bree and Skye would like to come and introduce their item.
I don't actually know if this needs an introduction. It's a song, I suppose, that reflects upon the relationship that we all have with our mums, the good times and perhaps those times where there's a bit of tension. But at the end of the day, it's all for good, so I hope you enjoy it.
Just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share,
and none of it seems to matter anymore.
Oh.
better. I do believe I have been changed for the better.
And because I knew you,
because I knew you,
amen. Here endeth Mother's Day morning service. Have a good lunch. Enjoy tea and coffee. And don't forget to come back at 6 o'clock for tonight's service. Now, men.